It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 Coming Out Loungers, it is time once again. You know what the drill is. We're going to step out, we're going to step up, and we're going to step into living our powerful truths. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the powerful truth of love. And I've got a question to kind of get us started. Do you ever feel like you're on that relationship merry-go-round, the same situation, and yet just a different face? Gets kind of tiring, doesn't it? Well, today I'm hoping we can fix some of that with my guests and fix it in a way that you can step out of the closet and really step into your powerful self, being in love with someone when you meet Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. But where do you start? Well, you're going to probably have to start someplace like mastering your own self-love, which is one of the most powerful ways to get out of your own way and to get into the real love. The real love you want, a healthy love with yourself and your significant other. So to help me kind of guide you through this journey are two friends of mine, Orna and Matthew Walters. They are the founders of Love on Purpose. They're a rockin' couple. They're brilliant. They're awesome. They're lovebirds. They're business partners. They work with clients all over the world to really help couples dial in and identify and remove the blind spots from their love imprint to help them truly create soulful partnerships. Welcome to the Coming Out Lounge, Orna and Matthew.
Oh, hi, Rick. Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Hi, everybody. Matthew and I are just so excited that you asked us to join you because we are really passionate about this mission, you know, that everybody really deserves love. Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we've known each other for a couple of years. And then when I was doing the podcast, which was a radio show at that time, we never got around to doing this. And then when I relaunched, I've had you guys on the list for quite a while, so I'm glad we're making this happen. So let's kind of dial into how you guys really got into this really beautiful, passionate, purposeful life that you're living. Not only you can tell your story about how you guys met, or you can dive in with like how you started the business, but I know there's some true personal, some really personal ties to why you're doing this work now. So I'm just going to let you guys decide who's going to talk and go with it.
Sure. We'll flip a coin. And I think I just won. So we got into this work because we didn't even find each other until after 40. And, you know, we always joke that one of the reasons that we call ourselves relationship experts is because between the two of us, we pretty much made every mistake you can make in relationship. And it really was our own journeys to creating this amazing relationship and the passion that we have for our own relationship and for the fact that, you know, because we could make this happen, we really believe that everybody can make this happen. I mean, that's such a huge part of why we do what we do.
Wow. So I'm curious, Orna, Matthew just kind of brought up, you know, the mistakes that you made. So I'm curious, what was one of your biggest relationship mistakes that you think you made getting to this point?
Wow. How much time do we have?
Exactly.
Well, it's funny because I think one of the biggest mistakes for me was really not understanding that I only had the charge, right? That real spark of attraction with somebody who was unavailable to me. And I spent 15 years on again, off again with a married man. And that just, I mean, it was so awful. I mean, it was just so, I just felt so tortured. There were times when I felt like, oh my gosh, I've wasted like the best years of my life, you know, sort of, you know, being in the bullpen, so to speak. And never being, you know, like this, never being first choice, never being the starter and never being the starting pitcher. And it's kind of funny to think back now. I mean, Matthew and I were coming up on the 9-year anniversary of when we started flirting, and soon it'll be the 9-year anniversary of our first date. So, you know, it's kind of odd for me to think back to that part of my life because now I know I'm actually living the best years of my life with Matthew, and I didn't waste a thing.
Yeah. I always think, you know, all these things that we quote unquote call mistakes are really not mistakes. They're just the pathway to getting to where we're really meant to be. So it's really interesting that you brought that particular scenario of being with people who are unavailable, because this is something I see a lot with my clients that show up for the coming out work. They typically are married, coming out of the closet, may have kids, may not, but pretty typically have kids. And a lot of the places, more so the guys than the gals that I've worked with, they go immediately first for a relationship right out the gate. I'm like, okay, well, slow down, slugger. You haven't even figured out how to do this yet. And then a lot of them go for the guys that are truly not available. And this can be another gay guy who's single, but not available because he's not really ready for that. Oh, wow, you got ex-wife and kids sort of stuff. So it's available for the sex and that stuff, but not really available intimately or emotionally. Or they tend to go for another guy who's going through, and this is like me pot calling kettle black here because I did this one big time myself, going for another guy who was going through the same process, going through divorce with kids. We are simultaneously going, neither one of us were really truly available. Or the third option is they end up going with a guy who is still in the closet and thinking that they can make it work and help him come out and get him to come out of the closet. And it's like, guys, you're barking up the wrong trees.
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, this idea around, you know, what really creates that spark of attraction has so much to do about playing out our readiness availability, right? Our own idea about what's possible or even probable for us. I mean, Matthew and I in our business, we work around this concept that we call your love imprint. Yeah. And your love imprint is how you learn to receive love in your family of origin. It's that system running in your subconscious mind. It's like the setting on your GPS for love, right? It's like that setting that's been programmed in there. And it's really made up, you know, it functions as this system. And we call it the block, really. It's like when we talk about someone's love imprint, it's the main block that's holding them back. But it is a system. It's made up of your limiting beliefs, your mental, emotional patterns, and your behavioral strategies around giving and receiving love. And then, you know, in my family of origin, I mean, there was a lot of abuse, a lot of emotional abuse and physical abuse. And at a young age, I really mistook, you know, sex for love. You know, I was like, oh, you know, here we're having sex, so there must be love there. And I really wanted love. I really wanted somebody to like love and accept all the parts of me. And yet I wasn't loving to myself. And so much of the journey that we take our clients through is through this understanding that, you know, in relationship, water seeks its own level. And so whatever it is that's going on inside of you will be reflected back to you. And that if you really want to have that, you know, what we call like a true soul partnership, right? If you really want that kind of connection with somebody, that it's really about shifting your relationship with yourself.
Absolutely. And I think this is the biggest stumbling block that I see with someone who's coming out of the closet. And I know it's a universal thing with people just trying to get into the dating world and find the soulmate and stuff. The closet doors, when they swing open, there's this inherent, I don't know, it's almost like this inherent understanding that you think, okay, now I get myself. And the thing is you've only just begun to get yourself when that closet door swings open, because it's the first time you're really being truly who you are. And you got a lot more growth to go through because you've never done this before. You've never dated someone of the same sex. You've never been given permission to go do this. Yeah, maybe you were, you know, like me, you were screwing around on the side behind your wife's back and doing all that. And you think, okay, well, I kind of got that all figured out. No, you don't. There's a whole emotional, intellectual, you know, intimacy level that you go through. So Matthew, I'm curious about the love imprint stuff. Is that something you guys work with clients to heal, to break, to create new beliefs around? How does that come about? Because to me, it sounds like it's a lot of re-engineering.
That is the basis of everything we do. Mm-hmm. We help people first identify what the love imprint is, what the story is, and then using the tools we have, conscious tools as well as tools that access the subconscious mind. I'm trained in hypnosis and therapeutic imagery and NLP and all these tools, which basically allow us to access and speak the language of the subconscious so that we can start to get your conscious desires in alignment with your subconscious beliefs and emotional stories. So
why do you think it's so hard for us to get in alignment with our conscious desires? Why do you think we don't really bring those forward?
Well, because we're not aware, first off, of the limiting beliefs that we have in place.
Yep.
We think it's just reality. You know, my brother-in-law says it this way. He says, well, people are just the way they are. You know, I mean, I was born that way and that's the way I am. right? And I think a lot of us have this fixed idea of self in that way, and we confuse our behaviors and our thoughts with our identity. And I get, you know, especially, you know, with your audience, when we're talking about coming out, it's like one of the first things you're really discovering is what is your real identity as a gay man, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to this false identity that you've been putting on for so long. So there's extra layers of that. But we believe it this way. If you've ever been around a newborn baby, and we know you have, Rick, right?
Yep, yep.
They don't have any beliefs about the limitations of love. Mm-hmm. We don't come in the world broken. We don't come in the world with beliefs that say, well, love is only good for me if, right? We come into the world as the physical embodiment of the energy of love. And, you know, you spend any time with a newborn baby and you will feel that from them. You will feel it for them. We, you know, we'll go walking around and we'll see people with, you know, babies in a baby carriage. We'll just nudge each other and go, look, no blocks to love, right? And what we want everybody to get is that is the truth of who you really are. The rest of this stuff is decisions you made with not enough information based on other flawed people who didn't really know what they were doing. Why do we want to take that as truth over this other truth, which says there is nothing wrong with any of us? We are all worthy of receiving the love we want. We're all worthy of receiving love however we desire it.
But, you know, this is the interesting piece that I think, again, I'm going to say it's in the heterosexual world as well as the LGBTQ world. But in the LGBTQ world, it's a really big piece of, I don't know that I'm worthy of receiving the love I desire. And it comes over and over and over again. Now, the blueprint that's there oftentimes is because suddenly you can't be gay. The biblical stuff says you can't be gay. Society says you can't be gay. And so that gets interpreted as now I can't be loved. There's no possible way for me to be loved. And it is one of the biggest hurdles that I work with, I would say 99% of the time with clients. There's one or two that have showed up that they're like, no, I'm good. I know how to be loved. I know how to ask for the kind of love I want. But I'm wondering what kind of tips you could give the listeners about how do you start to realize you're worthy of love? And I'll throw that one to Orange.
Oh, gee. You're giving me all the big, well, the deep, hard ones. I'm just
well,
kidding.
Matthew and I had a conversation a couple of days ago before we got on set. Throw all the biggies to Orna. I'm like, okay, yeah, brother, cool. whatever.
You know, I think it's interesting because this idea of not feeling worthy of love, I'll be honest. I mean, most of our clients are heterosexual women, professional yep. women, very successful in their business, but really struggling in the love arena. You know, they're heartbroken. And what I want to say is it's really not that different. Mm-hmm. We are all one, you know, as people, yep. like I always say like this, what we are really talking about here is the human condition, right? And that we are raised by flawed people who are raised by flawed people who are raised by flawed people. And we don't look at family of origin, you know, to point the finger and place any kind of blame, because we really know every, you know, I would say the majority of parents, you know, 99.9% of parents are doing the best they can with what they've got. Yep. But a lot of people have limiting, you know, tools in their tool bag, so to speak. And that children take full responsibility. You know, children really, sort of liken it back to the dark ages, you know, like when everybody thought the earth was the center of the solar system and the sun and the stars and the planets all revolved around the earth. Children are very much like that, right? We don't get to say when we're little, you know, gee, mom, this isn't great parenting, you know, I'd really love you to just, you know, give me a hug right now, or gee, dad, you know, this isn't really helpful, you know, tell me that you love me. And so really the journey of going into this worthiness of self-love is really what I touched on before. It's this idea of really transforming your relationship with yourself. I mean, in my family of origin, there was a lot of abuse. And so love and pain were intertwined. And so who did I pick, right? I end up in my 20s with a guy who ends up beating me up. I mean, it's mm-hmm. we will continually choose on automatic pilot what it is that is familiar to us. And so I could imagine with your, you know, with the men and the women that you're working with, that it doesn't matter if you're attracted to men or women and you're whatever, all of that stuff. It's this human condition mm-hmm. that we are conditioned to keep things the same.
Here's right? something that's interesting, though, in that realm is the conditioning shows up But what I find, and I don't know, I'm assuming you work with a lot of women who maybe have are single or have been married and maybe now they're single again. But what I find really powerful is when I have a client who's like, yeah, but my family. I'm like, okay, well, let's cut the BS here for a moment. You got married. Most of my clients have been married in a heterosexual relationship. So tell me what your family said about that relationship. And they'll go off on a tangent about, well, you know what? It's different. I'm like, well, at the basis, it's probably not. The only thing that's actually happening different now in the blueprint is your family, whether they accept who you are or not, just because you're dating a guy, if you're a guy, or you're dating a girl, if you're a girl, the same blueprint's there. The one difference is now you have the homosexual thing showing up. But the rest of the blueprint is all there.
Exactly. What we really want people to understand is the idea of your love imprint. It's in place in your childhood from when you're born until you're about 8 years old.
Absolutely.
And after eight, it rarely changes unless you have a traumatic experience happen or you have an ecstatic experience happen, right? And traumatic meaning like, you know, something shifted dramatically in your teens, in your life, like you lost a parent or, you know, you were abused in some way that hadn't happened before. So there's a traumatic experience which changes radically our beliefs about ourselves and the world. Or an ecstatic experience can happen that way as well, in which we have something that opens our eyes and we say, oh, wow, wait, you know, the world is actually greater than I think it is. But without those things in place, the belief systems about who you are and the strategies you have about getting love were established before you were 8 years old. And unless you consciously become aware of them, they don't change, whether you're in a relationship with, you know, same sex or heterosexual relationship.
And that I think really, I want to just sort of wrap up where I was going, you know, in this idea of how do we change this? How do we transform it?
Sure.
You know, part of it is, I know for myself, I'll admit here that I'm a recovering perfectionist. You know, I used to walk around with a really unrealistic high expectation of self. And that just led to a lot of disappointment. And now I sort of understand, oh, I can put my goals within reach. The transformation doesn't happen in one moment. Mm-hmm. You know, as we transform anything, I mean, watch any transformative process, it's a process, right? Yeah. A caterpillar doesn't make a cocoon and poof, it's a butterfly. It happens over time. A lemon on a lemon tree doesn't go from being solid green and unripe to being yellow and ripe in a moment. It doesn't happen like that. And so really, when you're on this journey to self-love, to self-worth, that is the place to really bring in a beloved relationship. And again, like Matthew's saying, all of these concepts, it doesn't matter who you want that connection with, whether it's the same sex or the opposite sex. Because whatever's in your way, in your own mind, when you are in your own way, that's what we're talking about. What are these belief systems that are keeping you from the love you want?
Well, I think it's also that piece, and I'm so glad you piped back in because I kind of knew that's where you were going. And then I had that moment where I'm like, oh, I got to say something here. But this piece of embracing yourself, that is the biggest roadblock. It's like the big roadblock to so much of this. And that belief of, okay, I can't do this because of this or whatever that is that you're saying you can't do or you can't be or you can't call in, is because you are in your own way, plain and simple. Now, I know it's not plain and simple because if it was plain and simple, then you guys wouldn't have work. I wouldn't have work. You know, we wouldn't be doing this, you know. But that moment when someone finally starts to see and embrace, and I feel like it is an embracement of, I have to make this work for me. I have to do the work. And I don't even like using have to get to do the work so that I can be part of the solution, not part of the problem. It's got to be pretty phenomenal for you guys when you see someone start to actually turn that corner.
It's incredible. We had a private client who, she had her first session with us and then literally met a guy and canceled her next three sessions, right? Went on this crazy whirlwind romance. It fell apart. And then she came back with a tail between her legs and she was like, I'm sorry. And we're like, well, you know, that's your love imprint in action. We call it accidental love, right? Accidental love is, you know, you stumble and you trip and you fall in love. That there's no intention about it. It's all about a feeling, and it's all about trying to maintain that feeling. What can I do? What shape can I take? What pretzel twist can I do to keep this good feeling going, right? And eventually we get tired, and it doesn't work, and we start fighting, and it ends, right? It fizzles out because it's not based on something deeper than just this feeling. So Let's do this. Let's give your listeners some way of sort of identifying, beginning to do the investigation themselves.
That sounds awesome.
You know, we start any kind of, we call them a Your Love imprint session, but you could think of it as like a discovery session because we want to find out what's going on with this person. We ask them one question, and that question is this: what is your biggest fear in relationship? What's your biggest fear in relationship? And they'll say things like, well, I choose the wrong person, or that I'll be abandoned, or, you know, that he'll cheat. They get specific about, you know, events. But when it's more like something core, like, well, I could be abandoned, then you can begin looking at the pattern. You could look at your past relationships and you could see how that story played itself out. You could look at your relationship to your family of origin, and you can see how the circumstances in your family of origin began to lay the groundwork for that belief. Once you've really gotten, you know, like your finger on it and said, oh, that's it, right? That's my fear. And that's the thing that's been blocking me. Well, now you know what to do. You know what to work on. You know where to focus.
All right. And I'm being very quiet here because I just want the listeners to actually take this in, because this is powerful stuff that I think many of them, when they're in the midst of their coming out process, and I know this happens in the heterosexual world as well, they are in the midst of the turmoil and they feel like, okay, the only way I'm going to move through this is I've got to find someone to love me. And so they go on that pursuit in the midst of all the crisis that's already going on, which is quite honestly the worst thing they can be doing in the midst of this crisis. They really need to be like, okay, let's just be in the middle of everything else. Let's not be trying to pursue the love piece. But then being able to see this imprint that you talk about and really acknowledge it as you were talking, I know that for me, I wasn't putting on my own love imprint, but I was putting it on my business imprint, because I've had a very similar conversation with my business coach. And he goes, what's your biggest fear about your business? And the first thing that always comes up for me is that I won't make enough money. That I won't make enough money. Well, that imprint comes from my family imprint of, we never really had a lot of money when I was growing up. So it's the same stuff. We bring it all into our different areas of life. You guys happen to be using it to bring it into their love imprint and showing them beautiful insights to themselves, which none of us like to see. But man, when we can see it and we can really wrap our arms around it, it becomes something really powerful. I'm curious, and this is kind of a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So why the word beloved?
Beloved?
Yeah. I mean, I love it. It's one of those words that's kind of like, yeah, that's kind of like from, you know, the 40s and the 50s. But yeah, I find it very warm. But I'm curious why you chose that word as part of one of your programs.
Well, honestly, you know, when we start naming something, we're looking, number one, that the URL exists. I mean, let's just get, you know.
Let's be honest here.
Just like just the practicality of today's world, right? You know, I always say we're in the noisiest market right under weight loss. Like there is the only other noisier market than dating and love and relationships is weight loss, you know.
Right.
So, you know, we want to know that the URL exists. We have a course that we call Bring In Your Beloved. And really that's when it started, because I like the alliteration, right? This idea of bringing in your beloved, that also that there's some purposefulness to that statement, right? Bring in your beloved. It's not, oh, accidentally slip and fall on top of your beloved.
Right. Well, you know, the first thing I've known about this program for a while. The reason I was bringing this up is I think a lot of people would go, well, I want you to teach me how to bring in love. It's like, well, that's only one piece of the puzzle. I mean, you got to have the beloved person there that brings that love to you too. It's like any of us can bring in love. If we turn some bullshit off, we can bring in love from anywhere. But there's something about the word beloved that's like, it's very, to me, it's very intellectual. It's very intimate. It's very real when you can say this is, and I actually have a really good friend who every time I'm out with him and his husband and he introduces his husband, he always says, this is my beloved Pat. People kind of look at him like, what?
Yes. And I actually, that's where I was just going. So now let me personalize it. So one of the other reasons that I personally love about that is there was a woman I met a long time ago, and she's an older woman. I think she was in her 60s at the time. And I spent some time with her through a friend doing some different things. And whenever she talked about her, and I don't even know if they were actually married or not, but her guy, she would call him her beloved. She would say, oh, my beloved, you know, what? I don't even remember the guy's name, you know, but this woman, the way she would say it, like she would just, there was something in her would light up. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't pick a word, you know, just because it was available in the thing. We use beloved and soulmate, I think, interchangeably.
Sure.
I want to talk about this because I love the word beloved. I think it, and I love the way you described it, Rick. It's intellectual, it's intimate. I would say as well as it's got a spiritual quality to it. And yet we hear other phrases, especially in our industry. We hear soulmate, we hear twin flame, we hear these other phrases. And there's an implication in those words, which to me, we really shy away from. And the implication is that you have to find a specific person who is your twin flame or is your soulmate. And your job is to go seeking that person, right? And if that person doesn't live where you live, well, then you're screwed. Right. If your soulmate or your twin flame was born in England, well, right. You know, too bad. Right. And there's something very fatalistic about that way of thinking. Right. That there is a person that we must find. And it's not about finding another person. Truth is, it's about finding yourself.
Yes.
And learning to love yourself. And when you love yourself, you are then able to receive love from somebody else. I want everybody to think about this for a second. If there was somebody who you kind of knew, but you didn't know them really well, say they were a friend or an acquaintance, and they just came up to you and they just started saying, "Wow, Rick, I just think you're such an amazing guy. You're so powerful. You're so handsome. You're so smart. I really look up and admire you. I have so much respect for you." Wouldn't part of you get a little uncomfortable? Like, well, that seems a little much, doesn't it? You're really laying it on thick here.
Happens all the time. And I don't mean that from an ego perspective, but when it happens, I'm like, I just, thanks. But you know what? I become like a little tiny wallflower in those moments.
Right.
Like, I don't know what to do with this.
Right. And the reason we do that, and I know this intimately because this was my story, right? Whenever I would meet a woman who'd come up to me and she'd say, "Wow, you're so cute. You're so, why don't we go out?" I'd be like, my first thought was, "What's wrong with you?" Right. And my second thought was, "Wait till you get to know me." Mm-hmm. And then I would, you know, be a jerk in the relationship and it would end because I didn't like myself. I couldn't receive this adoration, this attraction, this love from another person. It didn't feel like what I felt like inside.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, Orna tells that perfect story of, you know, dating that guy who beat her up. It's like there was something inside of her subconscious that recognized the abuser in him and recognized that, said, "This is familiar to me." And therefore, it feels like attraction. And so this is why it's so important to heal this inside of ourselves, is because if we're walking around with a certain amount of self-hatred and self-disgust and all of that, then that's really the only thing we're going to be attracted to.
We say it like this: let your freak flag fly so that your beloved will recognize you, right? How is your beloved going to recognize you if you're walking around, I'm going to say it like this, with a beard?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
How are they going to find you? How are they going to know? And this is the other thing, too, that ultimately love, like lasting love, is a choice.
Yes.
And you can choose to love yourself, and that's the journey. It's choosing to love yourself. You know, Matthew said, you know, ask yourself, what's your biggest fear in relationship? But I want to say this, what's your inner dialogue? You know, if you're listening to us right now, what are you saying to yourself about yourself? How do you treat yourself on a daily basis? Are you kind and compassionate? Do you lift yourself up? How do you treat yourself when you make a mistake, when you don't get things perfect? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. That's where you can start making the shift. You start making the shift in how you're treating yourself.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Orna, because you're saying something. I kind of wrap it up in a very similar way, but you're being a little more articulate. I say to my clients, first you have to ask for whatever it is you want. I don't care if it's love, if it's freedom, if it's peace of mind, you have to ask. Second, you have to believe that you can receive that. You really have to believe you're going to get that. And then you can ask and you can believe, but if you don't open your arms to receive it, it's not going to show up. And the thing that I hear you saying prior to all that is you have to put the road signs out. You have to put the flags up so somebody goes, "I'm ready to do this," but you can't keep hiding. You know, it's one of those moments in the coming out journey where the big moment is when somebody realizes this hiding isn't serving me. And it sounds like it's the same thing in the work you're doing. It's like this hiding from love isn't serving you, but yet what you really want is you want real love, but you're hiding yourself from it. So how is anybody ever going to find you?
Exactly. You know, one of the things that when we're working with our private clients is we oftentimes say, look, you have to get rid of, you know, all the friends with benefits, right? Because in a sense, what you're telling yourself is this is really all I'm worth. Mm-hmm. And you got to clear the space for somebody else. You know, if your heart is tied to somebody in the past, it's going to be difficult to find somebody moving into the future.
That's a big point right there, this letting go of the friends with benefits. So I hope all my, okay, gay guys, I'm especially going to point that one at you. You can do this. Is it going to be easy? Maybe not. But if you give yourself that opportunity to try it, you're going to see a huge, huge shift in how you suddenly begin to show up in the world of love.
And I'm going to, you know, I'm letting it all hang out here anyway, so I'm going to just go there. I always had, when I was single, I, for most of my grown-up life, like from having sex, you know, up until getting married, I almost always had buddies.
Yep.
I just did. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I remember I had a boyfriend and we broke up and I went through the, you know, all that mourning and I was talking to my girlfriends and I suddenly had this realization that most of them weren't doing it that way. That most of them only had sex when they were in a committed relationship. And that was news to me. I was like, I gotta tell you, I was like, huh, that's interesting. And I remember I ended it, you know, like, I mean, I was in a relationship, I was true to my partner, but as soon as I was out of relationship, I mean, I remember ending a relationship. I moved to Hawaii to, you know, be in a relationship with this guy. And when it ended, I landed at LAX, I don't know, probably around 6 p.m. or so. Mm-hmm. And I slept with somebody else, you know, before that day was over, you know, before midnight, you know, it's like, and my girlfriends would be like, how do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. How do you not do that? I just kind of needed to move on in a way and clear things out.
But I think there's another piece to this, too, that, I mean, okay, hello, girlfriend. You and I are we're cut from the same cloth. So that's the way I was. It was like, I could do that. I could be that guy. But what I also learned to recognize in my relationship was this piece of me, it's part of my sexual energy. So in order to make that really work in relationship, I had to go to a whole nother realm with myself of, okay, it's not necessarily so much that it's about the hookup. It's about, I have a very high sex drive. And so we have conversations about this in my relationship and we explore what that looks like. It's one of those big conversations that a lot of couples have a very hard time talking about because it's like, okay, well, I'm not giving you what you want. No. We're having this conversation so that we can get really clean on what expectations are. And sometimes those expectations won't get met, but we're being really clean. And to me, that's when you really start to realize, I'm going to use you guys' business name, you have love on purpose. There's a real purpose behind everything you're doing in your relationship.
Exactly. And in relationship, it is important to have those conversations. And I think, you know, for me, what I did, I cut it all off with all the extra, you know, well, I just did. And some of those people left my life forever. And some of those people decided, oh, we are friends, you know, it wasn't just friends with the benefits. And so I cut all of them out. And I really think it shortened my journey to get to Matthew. You know, the last few boyfriends I had before Matthew, you know, they weren't bad guys. You know, they certainly weren't abusers. I'd certainly transformed that part. But making them, you know, just good men didn't make them my guy, right? And that's why I think love is a choice. But I think when we do have a high sex drive and going through the dating process can be challenging. And one of the things that we say to our clients is, look, you know, if you want to be having the sex, then have a conversation about what the sex is about. This is dating like a grown-up. If you can have the conversation that sex means monogamy or sex means exclusivity, that however, whatever it means to you, and even if it doesn't, right? If you can have the conversation of like, hey, look, I think you're really hot, but for whatever reason, we're not a match for a relationship. But if you're good, you know, for just the sex, then have the sex. You know, there's no judgment about the act of sex except for what you're putting on it.
Absolutely.
So if you have a high sex drive, then get that need fulfilled, but don't expect to have a relationship through that because that's not what it is.
No, it's not. That's not. So I can't believe it's time to wrap it up already, but these always go so fast. But I'd love each of you individually to kind of give your perspective on two questions. So Matthew, I'll throw this right to you.
Sure.
What does love mean to you?
What does love mean to me? Love is the truth of who we are. Love is limitless energy. Love is everywhere. Love is always available. And my job is to discover love.
And Orna, what about you?
What he said. No.
This is my podcast and no girlfriend. You don't get off that easy.
So. I know. I was kidding. I knew you were going to call me on that. I'm just having fun with you, Rick.
I know.
What does love mean to me? I think love is the most powerful force there is. And that when we step into love and allow love to flourish, we can truly be fulfilled. Love is the path to fulfillment.
That's beautiful. So the last question I always ask every guest, and since there's two of you, I'm going to ask that each of you kind of give your own response. You know, as my listeners can be in different stages, they can be still in the closet, they can be starting to peek their, you know, little nose out of the closet door, they may have 1 foot out the door, they may have just come out, or they may be a few years into it. And coming out to me is everybody's journey. It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight, there's always something we're all coming out of. So if there was some bit of wisdom you'd love to leave, you know, how to do this journey of love and coming out to be who you are on either subject, what would be the thing you'd love to leave them with, Orna?
I would just want them to know there's nothing wrong with you, that your feelings are valid. Whatever you're feeling is appropriate. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you.
Awesome. And Matthew?
That you really, truly embrace it as a journey. I mean, for me, I had to come out spiritually. That was my coming out. And, you know, there's that moment early on when you first discover it and you become almost like an evangelist and you think you've discovered something that nobody else has discovered before. And it's kind of obnoxious. And then there's that more mature part where it's like you begin to realize and it deepens inside of you, right? And I think, you know, allow yourself to be on that journey.
That's awesome. You know, it's rare that I like do what I'm about to do. But because I've seen so many gays and lesbians, and some bisexuals, but mostly my gay and lesbian clients, really struggle with this thing around love. And whether you think therapy is the way to go or working with a coach is the way to go, I'm going to say that when you could have an opportunity to work with a couple such as Orna and Matthew, I think you got to take the opportunity to do so. Because this isn't a journey that's easily done on your own. And the thing that I love about them, and I've known them for 3 years and we've been casual friends, but every time I see them do something, I'm like, yes. The thing that I know is the work they do has no boundaries. It has no sexual orientation boundaries. It has no gender. It has no financial. I mean, okay, you've got to pay them some good money, but you don't have to be like a certain socioeconomic status to get the work they do. And if you're really fighting some of this, yes, I can get to the starting line. I can start to walk you through. But if you're in some spaces where you're like, this thing keeps happening. I'm not a dating coach and I never profess to. What I profess to do is I'm going to help you get up there to the starting lines. I'm going to help you start to see yourself and start to love yourself. It's friends like this that do this kind of beautiful work that to me are well worth the time and the investment if you're really looking for love on purpose.
Wow. Thank you, Rick. I'll just throw in one caveat. We market to women. So if, you know, you're absolutely right. The work we do applies to everyone. Yep. Our Bring In Your Beloved course applies to everyone, gay, yep, straight, male, female, it doesn't matter. But we're going to market to women. So yep, just know if you decide to join us that our emails are going to talk to you like you're a woman looking, exactly, for a man. But it doesn't mean that the work itself is any different.
Yeah, the work has no boundaries because, exactly, like I said earlier, and I just want to say I'm so touched. That was so touching what you just said. Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
I mean, I think it's just, you know, it is what Matthew and I work with is this idea. It's the human condition. You know, if you really want to understand what and really have the transformative experience, mm-hmm, of moving into value yourself, to know with every fiber of your being that you are, in fact, worth loving. If you're looking to craft the kind of relationship that will bring you endless joy and happiness, now that doesn't mean you're not going to have, you know, miscommunication with your partner or, you know, you're not going to have a conflict because conflict is just a doorway to a deeper connection. At some point, all of our clients ask us, do you guys fight? We're like, yes.
Of course. We're perfect little angels. Yes.
It's ridiculous. We spend like 365, 24/7 together,
Yes. I wake up every day going, yes, life is wonderful because I'm a coach and I can just coach myself through all this stuff.
Yeah. But
let's roll back about 6 hours ago when I'm like, I am just so done with all of this right now. I will admit that stuff on the air because I want my listeners to see the real stuff. This is all part of us as humans, that we all go on these beautiful journeys, whether we think they're crappy, shitty journeys or they're beautiful. They're all beautiful.
I want to leave everybody with this. It's one of my favorite reasons for why, Matthew and I believe that we truly come here to have a deep connection with another person, to create that beloved relationship, because that is our purpose, to be here. Why else would we be here, right? I just want to leave everybody with this. It's a Swedish proverb, and it goes like this. Shared joy is double joy. Shared sorrow is half sorrow. Mm. And I think, there's always going to be challenges. That's what life is made up of. But I know that I can count on this man sitting next to me as sure as I know the sun will rise tomorrow, and that whatever challenges come our way, we will get through them together in the most loving way possible. And I wanted everyone to know that it's possible for you to have that too, mm-hmm. with the kind of person you're hoping to have it with. It doesn't matter what shape they are or what gender they are or what sexual orientation you are, that love is truly your birthright.
Mm-hmm. And with that, I think that's a beautiful space to wrap it up and say thank you so much for being part of this.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
You bet. And if you've enjoyed anything that you've heard today, which there's plenty to have taken in and to sponged up into your beautiful little gray matter, go over and check out the show page. You'll see a link to Orner and Matthew's website at creatingloveonpurpose.com. You'll see links to their Facebook and Twitter pages. And if anything else, just take it in again. This has been one of the most powerful ones that I feel like I've done in a while, where we talked about the real stuff, about really stepping into who you are and to find that way to be there. And if this feels like it's a little bit too much to start with, you always can start with simple stuff. You can start with, first, you got to start loving yourself and getting through those closet doors. That's what I'm here for, or that's what some of the other coming out coaches do. Let's get you on the right track and take in that piece of advice of, maybe now may not be the time for you to be out there looking for love. And that's perfectly okay. And with that, I'm going to say, see you in a week. And never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, and you've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge. Take care, everyone. Hey, 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 closet dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners. I wanted to ask you a question. If you could take stress out of your journey, be more content in who you are, and find ways to do some of the most difficult things that you need to do as you come through the closet doors, would you do it? I bet the answer is yes. Why do I know this? Because I have been getting requests from listeners and clients or prospective clients about finding ways to just address certain things in their coming out journey. Some people don't want to work for a long time, and I totally get that. And that's why I've designed some brand new coming out coaching one-on-one sessions. These are very focused, topic-specific sessions. For example, maybe you're looking at coming out midlife and how do you do it? Could be that you're already out, but you're not completely out and you want to talk about how do I do this and come out at work. Could be that you're having trouble even accepting yourself as a gay person. And might there be a possibility that you're really struggling with your sexuality and your religion? Depending on what you're looking for, I've designed 9 powerful, highly focused one-on-one laser coaching sessions that you can choose from. Each session goes for 90 minutes. We stay specifically focused on the topic at hand. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So now that you've heard about this, how would you like to go check them out? Well, here's how you do this. Go to thecomingoutcoach.com. On that page, you can scroll down. You'll see stuff for the book and for some other offerings, but then you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button, and it will take you to a page that describes each of the 9 offerings that I have. If you happen to be listening to the podcast right now, just look over to the right-hand side of the show page, and you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions right there. Again, just click on that button and go check out these new offerings. So what do you think? Isn't it about time that you stepped out, you stepped up, and you stepped into resolving whatever the biggest issue is in your coming out journey? I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, and I can't wait to work with you one-on-one.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.